Hello, I'm Siobhan Fahey.
And I'm Marcella Detroit.
And this is our story.
There was always a really brilliant, easy, creative connection whenever we wrote songs together.
I love writing songs. That's my favourite thing in the world, being creative.
It's alchemy. This is a really magical union. It always was. The light and shade was a good call.
Yeah, it just worked. It was so unusual. It was very different. It was conceptual. I don't know where you'd heard that before.
I think maybe we're the voice of the oddball.
Shakespeare's Sister formed in 1988. Their first album was Sacred Heart, and their second, Home Only Yours, followed in 1992. That year, Stay topped the UK singles charts for 8 weeks. Critical acclaim followed with an Ivor Novello Award. And then, much to everyone's surprise, the duo went their separate ways. As Siobhan and Marcy reunite as Shakespeare's Sister, after 26 years apart, let's start their story at the very beginning, how they first met. For you, Siobhan, you obviously came from Bananarama, one of the sort of iconic British pop bands in the 80s. How did Shakespeare's Sister begin?
What started off as quirky pop with attitude had gone all the way to its logical conclusion of high camp pop, which was great for a moment, but, you know, I was really into Echo and the Bunnymen and the Smiths, and I was feeling frustrated musically or as a writer, as an artist. As soon as I left, I was very keen to start experimenting musically with all my diverse clashing influences that I'd stored over the years.
When I met Siobhan, I was more of a purist with what I did. You know, I like working with Clapton, and when I moved to LA, I just started doing a lot of session work, a lot of like R&B soul session work for people like Aretha Franklin, George Duke, Stanley Clarke, Bette Midler. I was doing that, but I was also always working on my own music, searching for that satisfaction and fulfillment as a solo artist. But it just so happened that I was working with a good friend of mine, Richard Feldman, who ended up producing our first album, the Sacred Heart album. And he was living across the street from Dave and Siobhan when they moved to L.A. And Richard and I wrote songs for Clapton and Belinda Carlisle and, you know, loads of other people. He introduced himself to them. And after they wrote a few songs, Richard said, "You should come over and work with us." So I was like, great.
Quite early on, he mentioned Marcy to me and said he knew somebody who had a voice that he thought would work really well with mine. And then from there, yeah, she did backing vocals on You Really Break My Heart, and then you started joining in the writing sessions, right?
Mm-hmm. Working with Siobhan and working with Shakespeare's Sister opened me up to do different things. I'm from Detroit. I grew up with Motown, and I got into folk blues, and then the Beatles were it for me. So this was an opportunity to try something new, you know, experiment and open, keep myself open to try new things.
I started to listen to Home Only Yours the other day, and I'd forgotten about that mental opera thing on Black Sky.
Oh, I know. I don't know what in the world possessed me.
Yeah, it's quite out there.
How did two people from these very opposing musical backgrounds come to make such excellent music together? The contrast between your voice, Siobhan, and your voice, Marcy. Did you know at the time, or did you realise how special that was? Did you sense that it would be unusual in pop music?
It wasn't a cunning plan or anything. I think when I left Bananarama, I was still very much trying to find my own identity as a singer, because I'd been singing in unison for so many years, and being shy and lacking in confidence, I chose to sing down in my boots in a kind of half-whispered way. The light and shade was
it just worked. It was so unusual, you know. prepare her style with mine, it just made a really magical blend of something that was, I don't know where you'd heard that before. It was really different and compelling.
Your history.
No good for me.
Your history.
Your history.
Na, 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 na.
Shakespeare's Sister was referred to as brilliant pop conceptualism, you know, inhabiting all these different characters from the sort of witch and the vamp to the sort of Hollywood B-movie heroine. Where did that idea come from?
I've never conformed to anyone type. I don't really fit in. I'm a misfit, you know, so I'll borrow from anywhere.
Just kind of all happened, didn't it? Just all snowballed and found different inspirations that you loved and that I loved and admired.
Happy accidents as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that in a borealic iceberg.
Oh.
The Edith Sitwell poem that was just lying around Richard's studio, and there was like a whole middle eight section of music, and I just picked up the piece of paper and started rapping from facade over it, and that's how that came about, you know, just happy accident.
In the borealic iceberg came Victoria, Queen Victoria, sitting shocked upon the rocking horse of a wave. Said to the laureate, this minx, of course, is sharp as any lynx, and blacker, deeper than the drinks, as any Hottentot without remorse. For the minx, said she, and the drinks you can see are hot as any Hottentot.
Thematically, what Shakespeare's Sister was about, what that album Harmonia Yours was about. I mean, you know, there was sex, there's desire, there's these dueling women, B-movies, macabre, there's murders, all these things that are going into this album, into this pop project. I mean, you just didn't get stuff like that at the time. That was a complete anomaly.
Certainly back then, and probably to this day, people still try and present this sort of fictitious, perfect self. But, you know, we've all got this really dark underbelly, the undercurrents of love and need and jealousy and hurt and pain. And I think I was very much exploring my hurt self lyrically and laughing about it as well, like, you know, like the sort of bitchier side of myself, the sort of angry, spurned, hurt person, you know, and which I don't think people did prior to that, you know. It's just kind of like owning it, really.
Mark the spot you hate with an X, and shoot your bow and arrow.
Shoot your bow and arrow.
Do your worst, get it all off your chest. I'll hold my breath and swallow.
I wouldn't write it off as just a female trait either, but...
No, definitely not.
We're complex creatures.
Mm. I mean, Shakespeare's Sister had such a distinctive image. It was like unlike anything else that was on telly at that time. Where did that come from?
Well, the sparkly suits. We were friends with John Richmond, the designer, and asked him to design our stage clothes. And he came up with those... It was perfect because, I mean,
brilliant.
Nothing reflects or sparkles like a sequin. But that can look a bit showbiz and a bit cabaret. But he designed these really tough, tomboy,
edgy,
rock and roll.
Not looking like Liberace.
Yeah.
He still looked really cool.
Yeah, more like Honor Blackman in The Avengers with sequins.
Yeah.
There wasn't just sequins. I mean, there was your more androgynous look, Marcy, with your suits, and there was also your sort of Bette Davis or Gloria Swanson on Sunset Boulevard kind of look.
Yeah. Whatever Happened to Baby Jane was a big influence on us when we were making the videos. And Sunset Boulevard, yeah, that classic old Hollywood vibe of the deranged, the deranged diva and the embattled women came from those films, and we drew on those influences. Mm-hmm. The Victorian thing, I've always loved that kind of sensibility, you know. I think the shadow of the Victorian woman certainly hung over all of us women maybe until very recently, having to break out of that repression. I grew up in a family that was little girls should be seen and not heard still, you know. So it's not that long ago.
What did you think when you listened back to that album you made together? What kind of feelings arise?
I was really impressed.
I too.
I was like, wow, we were really good. It's eccentric, but it's very accomplished. I think the songs are, I'm pretty proud of them.
They still hold up. I mean, my husband and I listened to it and we were like, wow, this is still really good. It's different, it's unique, and perhaps that was the thing that people loved about it.
Well, it doesn't really belong necessarily to any one time. It's in a class of its own.
You've been listening to Ride Again, the Shakespeare Sister Story, presented by Kate Hutchinson.
Our story continues next week. Head to Spotify and Apple Podcasts for further episodes.